All right, welcome everyone. So I'm going to be teaching a class today here. This is one of my favorite setups, especially if you're a newer trader or a struggling trader. It's basically a trend-based setup, but essentially what we're doing is we're looking to get into a trend in the very early stages. So technically your trend is, higher highs, higher lows, lower highs, lower lows, uptrend versus downtrend. Your Phoenix and your Avalanche strategies, these are ones that I focused on developing back in the late 1990s, and they've remained really, really strong throughout the last 2 decades. So what we're looking at is essentially the first continuation where a brand new trend is just getting started. So the very, very early stages. I'm going to go through this presentation. This is a class that I've given for years. But I'm going to show you examples of these setups from different time periods. So you're going to see setups from years ago. You'll also see setups from as early as this week that we gave live. I have a group that I started doing over the last couple of years called League of Traders, where we meet every day at noon for an hour, and I teach a particular topic during the course of that hour. So it's usually right now at noon. And every week is something a little bit different. And we do some live trades, live trade calls, but the purpose of it is to follow the markets as they're actually happening and to teach everyone using live market action. So some of the strategies that you're going to see here today are going to be ones that I gave during our League of Traders classes this week. And then you're also going to see some older ones as well. So hopefully by the end of the session, you'll have a really good basic core understanding of what the Phoenix and Avalanche are. And take notes. As David said, there's going to be recordings available, so you can go back and study them as well. So I definitely recommend doing that and just taking notes and, doing some screen captures along the way. All right, let's flip on over here. So what is a Phoenix? Well, like I said, it's that first beginning continuation of a brand new trend. Let me grab my pen here. So what we're looking at is this can either be a trading range where we're looking at a breakout for the range, or we're looking at a downtrend and we're looking at a flip of that trend. So this is the core pattern, what it looks like. So you can do a screenshot of this. And essentially what we're doing is it looks like a bull flag, but we don't have a bull trend established yet. So we will have the low, we'll have the higher high, but it's not always a higher high. And then the main thing that we'll get is the higher low over here. So some of the key traits that we're going to be watching for are two-way corrections. We'll be watching for support levels, such as a 76.4% Fibonacci fan. That's a great tool to use to help with your timing to understand, hey, has this base actually, gone on long enough to give me a decent trigger? And we'll be looking at the individual details within this, because it's not just every move and pullback, starting a new trend. There's certain traits that are going to increase the probability of your setup, and then there's going to be traits that are going to decrease the probability of a strong setup. So this is the core of what it looks like. So now we're going to go and dive into the details. Entry triggers, traditional bull flags and bear flags. What they teach you is to use a channel break. Well, with the Phoenix and the Avalanche, what we want to do is we want to use the break of that very last portion of the setup. So what that does is it gives us a very, very tight stop level. So ideally, we can get setups that can go for 10 times your risk, 20 times your risk, just depending upon what's going on the larger time frames. And oftentimes, you'll see a smaller Phoenix setup within the context of the larger Phoenix setup. And this is actually one of the setups that we saw this week too. And I'll show you how that plays out. So overall, we need a slower momentum shift for correction compared to the upside move. There's going to be pros and cons with this as well that we'll talk about. And the minimum target we aim for is 100% measured move here to here. So that just gives you a really core target. But there's going to be lots of scenarios where we look for a lot more. And there's going to be a couple scenarios where we look for a little bit less. So let's flip this on over and kind of dive into these details here. So this is an example of a Phoenix that we had here this week coming off of our lows. This is a chart from one of my traders here. And when we look at a Phoenix, there's a lot of different strategies whose names you might already be familiar with. Things like an inverse head and shoulders or a cup with handle. And the Phoenix ends up being the handle of the cup with handle. But what we're looking at is the trait that ties all of these together is notice how we get a shift happening as it's coming off of support zones. So we get a pretty nice strong movement off of the low and then a slower correction. Now, ideally, these are going to have 2 to 3 waves on the upside, and then you'll get a 2-wave correction. So it will look like this within each of those little segments. So what you'll notice up here is that we had the downtrend in place. This was a reversal setup that we were looking at intraday. And then we had 2-wave move up and the 2-wave correction. So let's go look at some more details on this. Here is another example. This one is from last year. So what you'll see is that the first thing you'll notice is that we've got momentum shifting. So slower downside momentum, stronger upside momentum. Then we have another shift in the overall momentum. And the Phoenix is this last portion right in here where we end up getting the narrower channel and the slower, more gradual pullback. So this is a good example, more similar to what's going on right here. This as well, you can see kind of the two lows here in place. And in this case, it would be these two lows. So a little bit of a shift there in the middle, but very much a merger of those two kind of templates that I drew there for you. So our Phoenix portion is that last little part there, and you can see the overall shift in momentum. What that does is it allows for a really strong breakout. And if you get a smaller Phoenix forming that's breaking out of this larger channel, then you can get a lot more than just the 1-to-1 measured move on the upside. In fact, a lot of times this will go on and it will kick off a brand new trend. That's what we saw happening here over the last, 24 hours or so. So again, momentum shifting, playing a key role, 2 waves up, 2-wave correction. This is really good. Now here, what you're going to notice is on this upside momentum here, we have slightly stronger than average. So here's something to pay attention to when we're looking at this upside momentum off of the lows. If it is a really extreme move, so let's say, for example, it goes up like this, a 2-wave move up like this. Well, what we tend to see happening is that when the Phoenix triggers with the breakout here, a lot of times that continuation move is going to be slower than that initial upside move. It can still go and do the 1-to-1 return, but it could stall at a 76.4% extension. So it depends on, is this a really good exhausted downtrend or is this a brand new downtrend? And in a case like that, then what can happen is if it's a totally new downtrend and you get that little Phoenix in there, then it can shift the momentum like this. So you get your first wave up, you get your Phoenix, but it shifts the momentum and then ends up breaking down with the pattern that we call an avalanche, which is a reversal of the Phoenix. So what we need to pay attention to, of course, is where this shift is taking place in a bigger trend. So major resistance up here, then you can still get a little Phoenix here, but the potential for that 1-to-1 return drops slightly. So you might only get a little bit of a pop off of it before it kicks in with a larger downtrend. Now, the opposite of that, another type that we will get that deals with the momentum is that we will have our move coming off of the lows and you'll see kind of a slower overall channel with the 2 waves. And then you'll get a more gradual 2-wave correction like this. This is what we call a shallow Phoenix. So it has the same 2 waves up, it has a 2-wave correction, but the opposite is true of where it's really an extreme move off the bottom. So this has a better chance of doing a much stronger upside move and following through more quickly, giving you substantially more than your 1-to-1 upside to continuation move. So the momentum aspect there is very important to really pay attention to. So the trend development we talked about, our first correction following a move off of the lows, where the low of the Phoenix will mark the first higher low of a new trend. That is what we're looking at here. Now, if we go forward here and we look at this action from the other day here. This is yesterday. Then you can see the shift in the lows down here. We've got our two leg move up. And what you'll notice about this two leg move up is that we have substantially stronger than average momentum. So based upon what I just showed you, even with the Phoenix buy setup, what you can have happening is that it can get off to a slower start. It can still continue, but it gets off to a slower start, which can add a little bit of trickiness to things. What you'll also notice here is that we have a couple of series of two-wave movements. We have the two waves here, and then we have a two-wave here. So how do you know which one is the buy setup? Which one is better than the other? One of the tools that you can use is that if the upside, the original upside movement is average to slightly stronger than average momentum, grab a Fibonacci fan, hook it up to the low, hook it up to the high, and your 76.4% fan is going to be the general zone of where your buy setup is going to be. If you have a stronger than average move, though, the problem is that your fans are going to be too tight. So the fan's not going to work as well in that situation. So what you'll have to look at is this impulse move here. When you get similar impulse moves in the past, how long do average corrections from those impulse moves take before they give a continuation? Now, you might go ahead and try this as a buy anyways. In fact, in many cases, I would. Just go ahead and watch the wave count though. So if you have a two-wave move up and it holds that upper channel there, there's more likely a chance it's going to double it and do another two-wave correction. So you can decide, hey, am I going to protect partials here and watch and see what happens? Or will I get out if the channel breaks? Look for another entry point. Those are all options that you can do. We'll look at what I mean by the time development here in a couple of slides. We'll kind of go forward here and dive into more detail on that. So our trigger on this is you could have taken this one here, but then with a two-wave move up, it shows shorter trend exhaustion. As it comes into this previous high, it can't break it. Now over here, when we get the next two-wave move up, notice that as it pulls up here, there's a little bit of a pause, but it actually breaks the move. So you've got one wave up, the second wave breaks that resistance. So that gives us the confirmation that, hey, I can build into this position more as it's heading higher on each of the two-wave corrections. I can keep building into the position instead of, you know, worrying that I could have another correction coming into play. So momentum we talked about. If we look at that previous slide again here, what you'll notice is that the overall momentum here compared to the overall momentum of this channel is substantially different. So we have an extreme upside momentum move, and then we have the more gradual overall correction. Even here with the smaller channels, we still have a slower overall correction, which again is a good pro. When you have a move where it offers the two-wave correction like this, though, if it breaks this first low by more than like 23.6% fib retracement, so if you take your high and your low here, if this breaks this more than like 23.6, 38.2%, then there's a better chance that before this continues, it's either going to do another Phoenix right here where you get an inverse head and shoulders. So it would look like that. We would want this to be holding up here, or it'll do the other two wave move like this. So when these movements are steep like this, especially if this holds like a 50% level here and then breaks down, then it's easier for this to go and put in a secondary move. So pay attention to this initial pullback and the bounce, because if our channel has enough of a break of this previous low here, then there's a better probability it's going to either do the smaller Phoenix here with a shoulder, or it's going to double it here to here and then break. And which one it ends up doing, you can tell by looking at the momentum. So see how fast this momentum is compared to this upside move. If it was going to do a shoulder with a smaller Phoenix, it would look like that, and you would get that shift in momentum again. And in this case, the move is a little bit slower here. So you could do your fib fan from here to here and get your 76.4% Fibonacci fan support there. So here's an example of where we're looking at comparable time development. So see our impulse move here off of the lows with the two-wave move. It's very similar in size and momentum to the two-wave move down over here. This is how long that move took to correct before it offered up a continuation. So looking for comparable time development can also tell you, hey, am I too early, or do I have great time development for that that phoenix to happen. This over here is an avalanche. So the avalanche is just the opposite of your phoenix. It's just flipping it and turning it upside down. So you have the two-wave correction in here and then the continuation on the downside. So it's the same pattern. It's just flipping it over. Here we even have a little baby phoenix within the bigger phoenix. And that is beautiful because what that does is it allows you to keep your stop using the smaller setup. But then instead of just looking for like the one-to-one target level on the smaller setup, you have that potential for the one-to-one target on the bigger scale instead. And in the case of a larger trend breakout, in this case, we have, you know, a bigger correction in here. That means that you can even get substantially larger continuation. So this might overall be a bull flag, for example. It could be a bigger phoenix on a larger time frame. And so having those incrementally smaller phoenixes can really tighten up your stops and give you substantially larger targets that you can aim for. Here's another example looking at time corrections and then our phoenix. So here's our downtrend. We've got basically three waves. A shift at the low breaks the channel here, and then we get our two-way correction. This particular phoenix is one that I call checkmark because it has the V and then the continuation here. Kind of looks like one of our lovely little math symbols. And then you'll see that smaller little phoenix in here as well. So in fact, we've got the bigger phoenix here with the two-wave correction like this. We have a smaller phoenix right here with the two-wave correction here. And then we have an even smaller phoenix in here. So by the time this goes, we're looking at the target based upon the larger phoenix measured move, but you're using risk levels based upon the smaller phoenixes. So this is the ideal type of situation. And again, pay attention to how long our corrections are taking, because that's going to give you a good idea for how long we need to wait to get a good buy setup coming in. We've got a V bottom in here, but there's the risk, like we saw earlier, where this could have just gone, bounced here, and done a second move down like that. So your head and shoulders could have gone down like this instead and broken this low. So if you bought this after just the first pullback, there's a greater risk that it might do a break of that previous low before it gets going. So waiting for the second pullback, that increases your probability of success. It might not be the best price level that you could have gotten, but you have a higher probability success rate for it. Another thing to mention here is that your volume should be dropping throughout this entire period to get your highest probability setups. Now, you can get steady volume throughout here, and that's not a huge con. A con, though, would be if volume is increasing in this congestion. So what we want to see ideally is going to be a volume decrease. It will start with the first correction, and you can get a little pop here in the middle with the volume, and then your volume will continue to drop like that. So overall, what it'll look like is a larger triangle drop with the volume like this that also tends to have two ways. Sometimes this kind of goes a little bit flatter here, and you'll see the volume drop in the first part to begin with, but your ideal would be to have it dropping in both situations. So here's another example of it. In this case, to look at our time correction, you can see that we have this as part of a larger inverse head and shoulders. So here's the drop over here. Here's our rally. Longer time correction gives us a good zone for where a phoenix setup would take place. Now, if we look at this right here, where we have a two-way correction right here, you'll notice that this correction right here is shorter even than just the last portion of this. So the momentum starts to shift right here, but even just looking at this last correction, this one's too short. So that tells me, hey, you know, I might get an entry trigger here, but it could be too early. It could pop and even double like that before it tries to get going. So when something is on the early side, you can take the early one and use advanced trade management, protecting partials, exiting if something starts to shift and looks like it's going to go into a longer range, which is what I did on this trade. Or you can just wait for the secondary setup, which might not happen. So possibilities for how that secondary setup could happen is in order to get that larger time development, it could go into a type of phoenix that is a megaphone. It could go and do the two-wave correction and then do another two-wave correction like that, just like what we saw saw on the ES and the NQ yesterday, but it can add that extra little bit of time element. So we need to watch for signs that, hey, this isn't confirming. Now, in this case, notice it gets to that previous high here, but it doesn't really push through it right away. It manages to over here, at which point you now have a three-wave upside move, shifts momentum, and there's a little avalanche right here. So in this particular case, that got me out of the trade because it showed me some slower overall momentum here, which meant that I could get a secondary correction. And I didn't know how long that correction would take to get going. So let's look at, and this you could even use as the short with that avalanche. That's what's shown in here. So our entry triggers. So like I said, if you can get a smaller little Phoenix in here, that is going to be more ideal. So entry one and entry two would be the smaller channel break and the smaller Phoenix break. Those would be two ideal entries. The least ideal entry is to take the channel break of the entire two-wave correction. That might be what you have to do if there's a ton of overlap here and there's not really a substantial difference between your prices. But ideally, you want to drop down to the smaller time frame so that you're getting into it at a better level. So if this is, say, a 5,000 tick chart, then drop down to a 200 tick chart as it's coming into this measured time correction here, as it's coming into like 76.4% Fib fan support. And as the volume is dropping, go down to that smaller time frame so that you can time it on that smaller level. So here's another example where we had an initial trigger here. There's actually a smaller little Phoenix down in here too. This is the one where it's kind of a slower start and then we get the stronger move. So here is a secondary one. And notice again, it kind of stalled at that upper channel and then it did like a three-wave move up there, very similar to the previous one. So what happened was it went into a longer correction instead before it offered up the stronger continuation. So keep in mind, if something doesn't go immediately, it doesn't mean it's done for, but it does mean it might double the size of the base. Now, it actually could have taken off here too with a little bit of an inverse head and shoulders. So those are potential levels where it can offer the continuation. Here's a good example looking at the smaller little entries of what that would look like. Our two-wave up move. This would be our 76.4% Fibonacci fan zone. This first low ideally should hook up with the 50% or the 61.8% Fibonacci fan. Two-wave movement, channel break there. You can see the three little waves here to show some trend exhaustion. That's your first potential entry. Second is that smaller little Phoenix. And then third, the least ideal entry is that whole channel break. I hate that entry, because like what we saw with some of the previous other examples, a lot of times if you tie these first two levels together, if you're coming off of the low of the channel, that zone can serve as a resistance level. So you might get something that triggers the channel break and then immediately pulls back into that channel. So if the distance between where your second pullback breaks and the overall channel breaks is substantial, like it is here, then it's not worth doing that. You want to use the lower entry whenever possible. That's a big difference from how a lot of, you know, traditional bull flags and such are taught. So here's an example showing our Fibonacci fan support. And again, you can see two-wave correction here. But what's happening is that for the fan, I'm hooking up that 50% fan with the first low. And that's going to give me the zone for that 76.4% fan. The more extreme this move is on the upside, then the less helpful those fans are. And you want to wait for the first two-wave correction, hook up that first low to the 50% or 61.8%, and look at both of them to look at the zones for where your 76.4% fan are going to be. So in this case, the shorter correction led to little two-wave move in here, and then we get the second two-wave move down. So this is a little bit of a messier example here. And in some cases like that, the bigger channel break might be a safer bet because you do have a lot more choppiness coming into play. So here's another example showing the Fib fans. And again, really steep two-wave move on the downside here. So that can go into an inverse head and shoulders, or it can take a little bit longer before you get a breakout offering the continuation. So this just shows one that was a scalp trade from a while back. But I want to show you, I'm going to switch over here, and I'm going to show you from this week what we ended up having as an avalanche. So stop placement, you guys, stop under that last low. If you've got a fib band in here, you can progressively move your stops up under that 76.4% fib band. So that can allow you to keep trailing it up. I'm not going to get into too much on these charts. I'm just kind of going through them to show you here so you can review them when you watch the video, because I want to get over and show you our live trades here this week. So you can see the one-to-one target level targeting here, the stop placement, target zones, the initial target zone here, here again, 100%. So here is a perfect example of an ideal scenario, because in this case, you've got your three wave move down, your trend exhaustion, you've got your shift in momentum down here, and then you've got that little phoenix. So in the context of this larger correction, this phoenix is nice and small. So the one-to-one target level really isn't looking at too much. You know, you just have like a small little bounce in there. But once you get the bigger setups continuing, we're able to get a lot more out of that position. So the smaller your phoenix is, or your avalanche would be up here. This one's a tilted one. The smaller it is in the context of the bigger trends, then you have a better chance of getting a reversal that's going to go substantially farther and kick off a brand new trend. That's what makes this one of my favorite setups, because not only are the rules pretty straightforward, but you also have really good potential for target levels. So here's an example showing the volume dropping. Now, before I talk about the live classes that I'm going to be doing here, I want to show you what we did live this week. So I'm going to flip on over and I'm going to pull up my charts. And the first one is that market reversal off of the highs here. So what we had happening was that stronger uptrend over here, the rounding high, and then what we started to watch for were avalanches. So there were some small ones that were happening in here, but the main big one that we were talking about and watching for several weeks here is this one. So what we were looking at was our downtrend move here with a nice two-wave move, a little bit of a shift here, the two-wave correction back down. This is our two-wave correction back up, even though those highs are about the same. This is our lower part of our channel. We were looking at a resistance level over here, and this triggered that bigger setup that we had happening over the past week that gave that stronger drop. Now, what's nice about the avalanche is that it was predictable. So we were able to see the larger exhaustion on the daily timeframes. I'm going to go clear this and show you that. And actually, I want to look at a 60 minute here. So you can see that larger trend placement here. The upside move, the shifting that's happening up here. Then there were small little avalanches in here that we were playing with intraday. Again, you can see the nice three-wave move up here. And then the continuation of that downside reversal, the two-wave move drop here. Here's where we get an avalanche that has a head and shoulders in it, triggered the continuation here. So that's the bigger secondary correction. And then we had the range here for our next two-wave correction. So our triggers were for this took place in here. And as you can see, really nice follow through. But what you'll notice is that this started as a slower two-wave drop. So then once this trigger took place, the momentum gave us a really strong move. Now, on the other hand, if you have a really strong drop to start with, and then we get our avalanche, there's a greater potential that you can see a shift that will be a lot more gradual here. And it can have slower follow through. It doesn't mean that the trend will totally stop. It can still keep going, but greater chop as it tries to continue. So this is one of the setups that we were following live on the larger timeframe. Another one that we did here was, let's see here. And this was live in our Dow. So this is an avalanche. And what you can see happening is that we had our uptrend move, our three-wave move on the upside, the shift here, there's a small little avalanche right here. And then during our class, we started to develop this two-way correction. So what we're looking for was a setup in this zone. Ideally, what we like to see on the breakdown is if we look at the distance between these lows, we want to have pretty similar distance between those lows. B can be smaller than A. We don't want it to be larger than A. Volume will be dropping throughout that entire zone. And for our fib Vans, if this is an average pullback, we would have 76.4% here. Now, since it's a little bit stronger for our Fib Van, we're going to hook this up with our fans. So let me show you how we do that. Grab this here, grab our Fib Van, hook it up. So I want to see where the 50% and the 61.8% fan hook up. So if we look at where the 50% hooks up with that first two-way correction, this gives us a maximum short zone over here. But if it hit that level and broke down, the distance between the lows might be too much. If, however, we switch this and we hook the first one up with the 61.8, now when it breaks down, the distance between the lows is pretty comparable. So that shows you how to kind of manipulate that Fib Van when you do have an extreme momentum move down. And you can't just say, hey, I'm going to go from the high to the low, because that won't work as well if it's an extreme move. It works perfectly if it's a gradual move, an average move, but it does not work if it's an extreme move or slower than average move. So this gave us our triggers for the continuation move on the downside and the bigger nice drop into the end of the day. And again, this is one that we followed from before it ever even triggered. We also have another example over here. Now in this case, B is a little bit smaller than A, which being halfway, that opens up the possibility that you can get a retest of the channel. So over here, if this had broken right here, pulled down, it could have popped back up to retest the channel so that you then get that more comparable time development. So that's how we have a little bit of a difference happening over here. But overall, trend exhaustion, nice two-way move up, the shift, 2T, momentum reversal, reversal, and then again, beautiful correction here for a continuation move on the downside. So this is another one. And then we have our Phoenix happening over here. So with the Phoenix, what we've got is our downtrend is completed. We've got a nice three-wave move down. We've got the good two-wave leg up. And here the wave count gets a little bit tricky for this correction on when we're looking at the Dow. So in some cases, what you'll get is that inverse head and shoulders. And in this case, we've got the smaller inverse head and shoulders within the bigger inverse head and shoulders. So this becomes our first main two legs down, even though you've got three lows here. We go from the first high to the first low, and then the second high to the third low. That becomes what would be the equivalent of our first two-wave move down. So then what we have for our time development is it can go with even spacing like that for the head and shoulders, or it could still go and double this correction to this correction over here and get that continuation there. So it's important to watch this momentum here for shifting to give you a buy setup, because otherwise there was that possibility it could do a secondary move over here that could break and take out that low there. So you would want to watch for that as a potential risk factor. I had actually shorted this again up here and was hoping that with this two-wave tilted kind of correction here that I would get another two-wave move to the downside. But when it stalled in here, this got me out of part of my trade. And then as it shifted to trigger that inverse head and shoulders, that got me out of the rest of the trade on the short side. So I was looking at it as resistance to see if we could get another continuation move down. So that's actually what I did with this one. And then this flipped it over here at this point. All right, you guys. So this shows you some great examples live as well as some of them that we have seen in history. But obviously the best way to learn something is to actually follow it in live market action and spend a couple weeks on it. So I have a live class I'm going to be doing in a week, starting a week from Monday. And it is 2 weeks just focusing upon all of the details of the Phoenix and Avalanche strategies. So if you want to join me, let me grab my link here. It is an hour every single day from October 4th to the 15th. It's a one-time payment, $50. There's no additional charges or anything like that. I make my education very reasonable and affordable for everybody, but you're going to get very, very top-notch education because we're going to go through core templates. We're going to go into live setups and we'll look at different zones in the market where the Phoenixes and Avalanches are most probable. So you're not going to see just, hey, this is a picture perfect setup. We're going to talk about, hey, these are the pros and cons of this setup that's happening right now as it's actually happening. So my classes go to pay for the support for my website. They pay for my admin team and all of the things like Zoom and all of that fun stuff. And anything extra goes to my charities. So I support the Cerebral Spinal CSF League Research Foundation, as well as some of our local rescue organizations and scholarships. So I hope that you will join me here from October 4th to 15th. You're going to learn a ton, I promise. We even have a section set up on Slack where you can go back and study a ton of past examples of these strategies as well. So the link to that is tonyhanson.com/AVA camp, so Avalanche Camp. And noon Eastern, everything is recorded and available on demand, so you can go back and study them any single time you want. They'll be available to you for at least a year, so you can go back and review them over and over again. And I really recommend doing that every couple of months, because you're going to pick up on new nuances as you are actually applying them to your own trading. So it gives you a good chance to go back and study. All right, David, thank you for letting me join you guys today. I know you've got a lot of sessions and strategies that you guys are going to learn. So the nice thing about my style of market analysis is it doesn't matter what market you're trading. You can be trading futures, you could be trading, you know, gold, Bitcoin, doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter the time frame either, because we're looking at core strategies. In fact, we've even looked at these strategies as they relate to COVID infection rates. So we've even got the phoenixes and the avalanches forming on basically anything that tracks humans and emotions and our behaviors. So thanks again, David. And I look forward to getting to know you guys better.